Jesus comes to us in such a precious way when we wait upon him that we hardly want to speak. But really, when we wait upon him in such a way, the Lord does inward miracles in our body, soul, and spirit. We've all experienced that, how he comes to us. And I'm so thankful that these days I've been here at camp. I've always loved this place, and I guess my whole history is here, from a child and then coming later after being in Taiwan. Brother Eddie just read those verses in Psalm 62, and I looked in, I have a Bible that's Chinese and English together, and the Chinese says, 我的心默默无声等候神,专等候神. It also says in the Chinese that to wait upon him silently, twice here. It says that also in the fifth verse. 我的心啊,你当默默无声,专等候神. To wait silently upon him. And how did we learn this? I've been so greatly privileged to be in this place from a child. I've started out in the cottage. I guess I was in the cradle once here, the cradle, remember the old cradle? In the cottage. And then the dormitory is our dining room now. And Mayhew Manor was the children's dining room. I was a waitress there when I was 16. And that apple tree is still there, but you can't eat those apples. And there was a cabin just behind that apple tree. That's where I slept, and when I was a waitress. So many lovely memories of this place, but one of the nicest memories I can think of is when Jesus came to me and filled me with the Holy Spirit. Many of you have heard it, you know, you've heard it so many times, I'm sure. I can credit my mother for that, because I was coming up here, I'll just repeat it quickly. I was coming up here by bus with my sister. In those days, you didn't have the thruway, and you didn't have the northway. So it was real fun. You got on the bus at night, and you didn't have to go to sleep. I thought sleeping was a waste of time. I could stay awake the whole night on the bus, and we sat in the back, and it went back and forth. That was fun. And my mind was filled with, swimming, boating, just having fun up here. I even played with frogs in those days. You can find the picture where I have a dead one when it's about 9 or 10. It's on the internet. I didn't even know that was on the internet till someone in Taiwan, one of our people over there, showed it to me, and I looked at, is that me? My sister had made my hair. I looked like some Swedish little girl. She put a braid up there. I guess she thought I didn't have my hair very neat. In those days, we didn't care about those things, what we wore. We only enjoyed being up here, enjoyed the swimming, and just enjoy life. But Jesus came to me. My mother said to me, it's about time you were filled with the Holy Spirit. Those are the last words at the door when she said goodbye to me. And I didn't answer her anything, but those words went in my heart like, she was very soft-spoken, and those words went into my heart like a knife. And I came up here, it was going to be my 11th birthday here, and on my 11th birthday, I knelt right over where Sister Mary is, and I said, Jesus, today's my birthday, you can fill me today. But he didn't. And the next day we came again. I prayed there and Jesus came. It was so gentle and so soft and quiet. No one knew I was being baptized in the Holy Spirit. He often does that. It was a very small beginning, but there was a breakthrough that went right into my heart. And Jesus changed me. From that day on, I was changed. There's something about this place, even this time coming up here. I went swimming. I still love swimming. I don't like frogs anymore. But went swimming. I didn't go boating this time. And just being in the meetings and being able to I had to catch up on some of my Bible reading because I do it in two languages. And just reading it slowly and meditating on it, coming to the meetings, the good food up here. I told someone, this lake is the best lake in the whole world to swim in. We swam to the island a few times. This time I didn't. And not that I'm such a good swimmer. I just swim almost like walking, you know, very, very easy. And just being here in the presence of Jesus, it does something for you, changes you. Every time I come, I'm changed. And you feel rejuvenated. I was the one that said to Brother Eddie, he's so kind to us. He made a fire. Brother Tom and Sister Mary, they made a fire. Last year we had a group of Chinese here from Vancouver, and more of the folks from our Flushing church were able to come this year. They weren't. But four more are coming tomorrow with me for one day. They've been so kind to us, took us up on the mountain and on the boat. And there's just something about this place, it rejuvenates you. And I felt like a young kid again, really. I still do here. The air, you breathe in the air up here. This morning, our German friend said, "Die Luft ist so gut." The air is so good here to breathe it in. Breathe in a lot of this air. It'll help you when you get home again. And then you breathe in the air in the meetings, and that's even better. And the water you drink up here brings new life to you. But the water we drink in the meetings does even more for us. It's Jesus. It's that water of life, and it changes us. It changes us completely. And I remember the first time, I didn't know all the doctrines in the Bible. I was a child. We read the Bible. And I didn't know that getting quiet and being alone with Jesus, that that expression was waiting upon the Lord. I remember being in the dormitories there at the palace, and I'd go toward the lake and sit there on a rock. I could show you which rock it was, and just get close to Jesus. And then I said, "Jesus, don't let anybody come now. I want to be alone with you." And now, who did that? It was Jesus who did. I didn't do it. I didn't use any effort. It was the Lord that changed me and did that and put a desire in my heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then sitting in the meetings in those days, we were children, but we did attend a number of the older meetings and the older folks' meetings. And the presence of Jesus in this place just drew our hearts. After I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I could feel that presence of Jesus. Before that, I couldn't. But after that, it became precious. And that presence of the Lord that fills these grounds came into my life. And I thank Jesus for the way he's kept us. It's only his great mercy in keeping us and giving us a hunger and thirst for himself. When I'm sure many of you have read Sister Pearl Young's autobiography, she never wanted to write about herself. It was Brother Gordon Gardner who asked her to write her testimony. And so he put it into Bread of Life, and then later it was published in a book. But she mentioned perhaps in that story, she told me often about when she was 25 years old, she went to China as a young missionary. Before that, she grew up in Nova Scotia, Picton, Nova Scotia. She was of Scottish descent, and her mother was a very godly woman, taught her from a child many of the Bible verses they had to learn. And she had such a good background. Then her mother asked her, "Will you go as a missionary?" She was only 5 years old, and she agreed and told her mother, "When I get older, I'll be a missionary." So the Lord led her to, I think it was Nyack Missionary College after her university. She wanted to be a doctor, as her father was, but her health hindered that. And then She was a home missionary in the Kentucky Mountains. She had some interesting experiences there. And then the Lord called her to go to China. And she was in Hudson Taylor's mission, the China Inland Mission, and very godly people. But she always knew there's something missing. And that thing that was missing in her, she was very diligent. I have some of her Bibles, and when she was a young girl, she wrote so tiny, and she studied her Bible diligently, and she prayed, and she did her work with her whole heart. But she felt there was something missing, and that was the baptism in the Holy Spirit. She didn't know it at the time. In those days, people did not speak much of it. But the Lord came to her in his great mercy and grace and allowed her to meet people that would tell her about this experience. And then you can read it for yourself. The Lord, in a wonderful way, led her to the Ridgewood Fellowship. And the first time she came there, she saw the people praising the Lord. She said it was as if they saw him face to face. And she said, "I don't have this. I don't have this, what these people have." She had such a good background. And she sought diligently and she found it. And the Lord filled her with the Holy Spirit. And she was in the faith home. I was a little girl at the time. I remember her. She was a very quiet person. And then when she was filled with the Holy Spirit, at first there was when she was filled, it was in Ridgewood on a Sunday night, in the upper auditorium at the altar. The next day in the faith home, she did not speak in tongues, but she knew Jesus had filled her. And the next day she was careful not to do anything to displease him, because she wanted to keep this presence. This was so precious. This was the most precious thing to her in the whole world, to have the presence of Jesus, that she did not want to even go out for a walk unless Jesus told her she could. And there she was filled even more with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. Her tongues, Sister Elizabeth Lindell was better at discerning what kind of tongues people had. She said, "Oh, I think Sister Pearl has angel tongues." I don't know if she was, but her tongues were beautiful tongues. That was not the most important thing. She said, tongues help us and bring us more into the presence of Jesus, and it also is a heavenly language where we communicate with the Lord Jesus Christ. But she said the most important thing is that he reveals his presence and that we walk in that presence of Jesus and keep that presence. And so, make a long story short, I've told this story so many times, but I can't help but tell it again and again. She told me one day, she had to leave the China Inland Mission, not because they were not good, they were wonderful people, but she was told she can have this experience but not talk about it to others. She could have it, and she could not exist that way. How can you live without telling people what happened to you and the presence of the Lord coming to you? Maybe now it's different nowadays, but she left that mission and they told her she could come back any time. And then she didn't want to start a mission of herself or have be a church leader. The Lord called her. She worked up here at the camp a few summers. And then she went back, and then she couldn't stay in China anymore. That was closed. But the Lord one day called her from here to Formosa. In those days, they use that word more. Now they use Taiwan. And the Lord brought her to Taiwan. At first, she worked with other churches. She thought she could influence these other churches, ministers, to go this same way of seeking the Lord. But she found that it was not possible at that time. And so the Lord led them to start the Zion Church now in Taiwan. That's why our church in Flushing, we're in Flushing now, we call it the it started in Woodhaven in my house, the Woodhaven Chinese Zion Church. That's why we use Zion Church. All our churches have that name, but now we're in Flushing. But I'm so thankful for what the Lord has done. I'm so thankful for those ministers that taught us this way of seeking the Lord, of finding Jesus. And I'll be grateful to him for the rest of my life and throughout all eternity, because it changes people's lives. Just recently, we had a retreat for our Chinese church. We have it twice a year at Thanksgiving and also Memorial Day. And we had a couple, Brother Eddie, you married them a year ago in Ridgewood. We took them to Ridgewood. That's where they get baptized. And if they want to get married, they come there too. And they go to Sunday school and also come. I encourage our people to go to Ridgewood Friday night or Sunday night as much as possible, and also to come up here. And this year we had quite a number, and quite a number on the staff. The young people are growing up now. I've seen them since I've seen, here's Hannah and her little boy, Caleb. He was smart to begin with. He was just born. And he's already a junior counselor. And others, I've seen them grown up, and we pray for them. And the Lord is answering prayer, and they love camp. They love to come up here. And I'm so thankful that they were able to work on the staff, more of them this year than before, and also come. And in our, I was speaking about our retreats. This couple that was just married, Vivian and Lois, Lewis, they were Christian before, but something happened to them. This something that happens to you is a breakthrough. It brings you right into the presence of Jesus. It's real. Maybe you've learned things. We've often experienced that in our Chinese work, how people accept things intellectually, and the Chinese people are very intellectual, and they like to study things intellectually, and that's good. But then there comes where it comes right into your soul, and Jesus becomes real, his presence. And you can't give it to anyone. You can tell them about it. You can't give it to them. But suddenly Jesus does it. In this last retreat, I didn't know. I know that the Lord met them. But recently the mother of Vivian, she came to me. She said, "Vivian and Louis are changed. They love to pray and they love to read the Bible together now. And I notice when they come to church, they're on fire now. There's a fire that comes. It's the baptism in the Holy Ghost and fire that comes to us." And so precious. But getting back, I don't want to take too much time. But there's a verse, we all know that verse in Isaiah 40. And this time we're to mention some verses about strength, or strong, how God wants to make us strong. And there in Isaiah 40, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." We sing this in our Chinese meetings. I don't know if Wenhui knows it. I don't know if some of the others know it, but tomorrow some more people are coming. They know it. I don't have a good voice at all, but I'll sing it for you anyhow. Dang ho Yehowa di bi chong xin de li. Dang ho Yehowa di bi do chong xin de li. Ta men bi ru ying jan zhi shang tang. Ta men ben pao jue bu kun juan. Xing zhou bu jie bu pi fa, jie bu pi fa. And so that's the verse, to wait upon the Lord, and gives us new strength. He comes to us, and this is true. This is true. That word wait, it includes the meaning of silence. And I thought of another verse. I read it just these days. It's in Habakkuk. Chinese is Habakkuk. And it's, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Wei Yehowa zai ta de dian zhong, quan di ren dou dang zai ta mian qian su jing jing mo. And this quietness that comes, God works miracles in our hearts. We've experienced that. Just the other night we were here, there was such a holy silence in this place. At the end of the meeting, we hardly wanted to leave this place, but we have to go. Sister Pearl always said, sometimes some of the young people wanted to stay there the whole night. She said, we have to go to bed, and tomorrow it's another day to seek the Lord. So she wasn't a person that did things, what would you say? I can't think in English the way I do in Chinese. Sorry, because most of my speaking is in Chinese now, not in English. And I think throughout my life, because it's been a long time, I think I've spoken more Chinese than English. Because I live alone, I don't talk to myself. But Jesus is wonderful. And he's just so wonderful in what he does for us. I've been healed in meetings, really healed, miracles, not just from being in the presence of Jesus. I was in an automobile accident, a taxi in Taiwan, those old taxis we used to take, and I was in a terrible automobile accident where I was hurt badly, my spine and my leg, and I was in pain a whole week. And we prayed again, and that morning I went to meeting. We had a pump organ in those days. And as I was playing, Jesus came so near. You forgot about everything. And then when I left that meeting, it was just a small meeting, Thursday morning in Gozuko, I walked out of there that morning to get out of bed. I was very young, and I had to get out just rolling, very slowly to get up out of bed. And I got out of that. I walked upstairs and I said, I'm healed. I went to my room and I tried every position and I was okay. My spine, my leg, everything was perfect. The next day, I had a big shofengqin, is accordion, very heavy. And the next day we took that accordion, we took a bus up into the mountains, we went to a little village, and I could play that accordion and carry it, and I've never had a problem since. It was Jesus. It was his presence in the meeting. He does such miracles for us in meetings, especially. Sister Pearl said, you can wait on the Lord at home, and that's precious, and we all do. But when you come to meeting, it's extra special because we're all together and Jesus does things for us. If we knew that more, we'd get to almost every meeting we could to, and we'd make an effort to get our work done somehow other ways. There's something that Jesus does for us in the meetings. And so now I'm thankful that we had Uncle Hans. Sister Pearl said, everything she learned, even though she had such a good background, she said everything she learned from Uncle Hans and from the Ridgewood Fellowship. And then she treasured Brother Edwin. And these days I've been telling Brother Eddie, I said, I saw you when you were a baby and you were dedicated, and your grandfather, he was such a kind man, Brother Gottfried. I remember him. I was still very young then. And his life, and Brother Hans Walfogel, and then Brother Edwin, and Sister Pearl, she honored Brother Edwin. She said, he is the leader, and she honored him, and whenever there was a question, she asked him. She was, even though she was older than Brother Edwin, she honored him. And now we have Brother Eddie and Brother Kenny and other good ministers, and I count it a great privilege. And I'm so thankful to Jesus that the light is still shining. This light we can't let go. We have to let that light of Jesus continue to shine. It has to fill your whole being and become the most wonderful thing in your life. As Paul said, one thing he does. And Jesus commended Mary, Bukashal, the Jiyoitian, that's the Chinese, one thing is needful. And David, he didn't have what we have, but he did say, one thing I desire of the Lord. He had a foretaste. He could foretaste a little bit about the presence of God, but now we have it even better because Jesus can be within us. At that time, Jesus had not gone to the cross and was not resurrected. And this time I was in Taiwan in July, and often I go to, we go around to the different churches. Recently I was in central Taiwan in Dajia, and when you walk down the street, you see these people. They're so innocent. There's an innocence about them. They don't know anything else. They don't know the things. I knew this from a child. And when I see them, I think, if only they could have known what I knew as a child. And the Lord reaches these people. And many of our Chinese people in our Chinese churches, they haven't had a background. They come from heathen worshiping homes. But the way the diligence, I've seen the diligence in their hearts. I think if I had been that diligent as a child, boy, but I want to be even more diligent in seeking Jesus. Hannah, her English name is Hannah. Her husband's name is Joshua. They live in Connecticut. They come to us every Sunday morning. And they're a great blessing in our church. And his mother and father were not Christian. And his mother wanted to use the Bible. She found out her son was a Christian, and she was very disappointed. She didn't want him to be a Christian. She read the entire Bible through, from Genesis to Revelation in Chinese, Joshua's mother. And then she could use verses to tell him where he was wrong and reprimand him. But then she read it through the second time. Many Christians haven't even read the Bible through. She read it through the second time, through from Genesis to Revelation, and she became a Christian. This word has power in it. Has real power in it, those words. And when you repeat those words and let them into your heart, it changes you. It changes your life. I've seen that, and I've seen some of these people there in Taiwan. I saw them. There's like an innocence and without guile. They do what they've been taught, and they're very diligent about respecting their elders and following the traditions that they're taught. But then when they find Jesus, they give it their all. And that's so wonderful. And the Lord's done a special work among Chinese-speaking people. They've come here as students and go to Chinese Bible studies, and that's how all these Chinese churches started, many of them here, especially in those days coming from Taiwan. Now many come from China. And then I was in Japan. I've been there many times. We have also a Chinese branch church there in Osaka. But this time I was invited to a Japanese-speaking church. The first time I was with the Japanese, and it was a small church. And the first day I was there, I had the privilege of speaking to two Japanese ladies and telling them about Jesus. And it was such a thrill to me. I never had a love for the Japanese because I've heard a lot about them, and I didn't think much of them. But this time when I spoke with them face to face and could tell them, it was such a thrill. I used Chinese. I had to speak in Chinese and was interpreted into Japanese. And then they taught me a lot of Japanese words. Ohio is good morning, and Kauai is cute, and Oishi is very tasty. A lot of nice words, and I found that I'm beginning to like them. And I really got a love for the Japanese people. And I came away, they really need Jesus. They really need the Lord. They need, if only they can experience how wonderful Jesus is, his presence, his love, and the joy. The joy gets better every year following Jesus. And you see these people there in Japan. So many of them commit suicide. Over 30,000 a year in Japan commit suicide. They're not happy. And then I heard that there's only not even 0.8% of those Japanese are Christian. They need Jesus. And I thought, if I had nothing else to do, I think I'd go over there and ride a bicycle like Mabel Francis. I really got interested in that. I thought, boy, maybe I could come here and get a bicycle and a little place to live and start telling people about Jesus and learning a little Japanese. These people haven't had the privilege we've had, and we have such a great privilege, what we've been taught from childhood. I think I thank Jesus for the rest of my life, and also I'm so thankful for Brother Hans Waffel, Brother Edwin, Brother Gordon and Sister Caroline, and now Brother Eddie and Brother Kenny and others of our ministers to keep on this way. And I noticed in Taiwan too, the workers, they're catching the light. It's becoming more real to them. It has to become real to you. It has to be the best thing in the whole world. Sister Pearl would sometimes hear people say, "Oh, Ju Yesu the Tongzai Zhi Shi Yifen." You understand. Ju Yesu the Tongzai Zhi Yifen. They'd say, "Oh, the presence of Jesus, that's just one little part." She wouldn't get mad, but she really was upset. She said, "You can't say the presence of Jesus is only one little part. The presence of Jesus is everything. It is everything, and he's going to fill us more and more this weekend, and so much. Someday he's going to come, and someday we're all going to go with him." And she was so zealous for this. I knew from a child she said, if there's anything better in the world than what we've been taught, she said, the Lord will show us. And she said, but I don't find anything better. And there is nothing better. It's Jesus. And we're just little vessels. We don't have much. I never wanted to be a speaker. If people knew me when I was a child, I was so shy. My sister used to tell me, "Gertie, you have to talk to people." I was like my brother Ralph, more quiet, and enjoying playing music and reading books. That was my life. I never wanted to be a speaker. If you had told me I have to speak in front of so many people the rest of my life, I don't think... if I read books, I'd like Lillian Trasher going to Egypt and having an orphanage, all these babies, that interested me. But being a speaker, no, that didn't interest me. But now it doesn't matter anymore. Jesus matters. He just needs us to do what he wants us to, what he wants of us. And I want to be more faithful to him. And this precious, precious light that he's given us of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and that's not the end. We keep seeking him. We keep seeking him. Paul said he wanted to go on. He didn't attain. He wanted to have more and more of Jesus till it's all of Jesus in us. And then Jesus is coming one day with that shout, and we're going up with him. I thank him for his wonderful call over our lives, all of us, and that the light is going forward. This generation, God is going to get young people, boys and girls. I see the young people growing up in Ridgewood and other places, and also in our Chinese church. I pray for them Don't let them make a mistake with marriage. So many have, and they've lost out because of it. But if they pray through and pray through God's will in their lives, whether he wants them married or not, but it's so important that they do God's will. And that's my heart's cry for the young people, both in Ridgewood and in the Chinese churches. I pray for them. And when I hear they have a good friend, I just heard recently last year James was here from Vancouver. That's Brother Wei's son. And he has a girlfriend now, a nice girl. And they're going to serve the Lord together. Then I'm so thrilled because the light is going to go forward. It's going to keep going, and it has to. In Japan, I heard Mabel Francis was there years ago. Some of you have read her story, Mabel Francis. And the older generation believed in Jesus, but it was not carried through to the younger generation. But thank God, it's going through. And younger people, also the young people, I see them here praising the Lord, and my heart is thrilled. May the Lord keep us faithful, and also myself, that I'm faithful to Jesus. The things that have been given to us, a charge over our lives. So Brother Eddie mentioned 43 years ago, Labor Day weekend, he was here. I was here before I went to Taiwan. And Brother Uncle Hans, we called him Uncle Hans, he put his hands on my shoulders, and it was like as if there was steel put in there. There was something about those hands when he prayed for me. But I was so scared. They told me I had to speak in the evening meeting. I shut myself in a room, and I was so afraid to say what I was supposed to say. But praise the Lord. But the Lord delivers us. And recently my sister-in-law, I was at my sister's 80th birthday celebration. My sister-in-law, I had to say a little for my sister. And my sister-in-law, Anna Hahn Bacher, she said, "Well, when the Lord delivered you, he did a good job." So I better quit now.